9 o'clock hour here on a Tuesday. Chuck and Buck in the morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR. Bucky Jacobson is here, survived a bear attack this morning, also survived and succeeded against a K-Rod breaking ball, for goodness sake, at one point in his life. Also, Slick Hawk series in the Red Box producer booth. He has survived even more dangerous waters, a fantasy football matchup with Tony Rossman.
Yeah.
Well, did they get the name right?
Yeah, you did. Dangerous waters indicate, like, it was treacherous for me. I had no worries. I mean, they were really calm waters, actually. I mean, it was like a really, really big lake when there hasn't been wind for a month.
Placid.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, no danger there.
Yeah.
Usually isn't.
Do you feel a little silly now, Bucky, complaining about the bear scare after knowing what Slick Hawk went through this weekend?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I mean, geez, I thought that it was scary, right? At 5 o'clock in the morning to walk out to a, you know, a black bear with claws and whatnot. And then now I'm like, geez, you're such a wuss. Quit complaining. Yeah. Slickhawk has 17 fantasy leagues that he's competing against some real rock stars. And so, yeah, I apologize for bringing up, such minuscule problems to such a big, hard-hitting thing.
It puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
It really did. Yeah. It really did.
You needed that. For that, you needed that today. Yeah.
Well, I accept your apology, and I'm glad I could provide you this wake-up call so you can really make some changes in your life.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, baby Jesus.
I think maybe the lesson we've learned is not to whine because a bear might eat you. I mean, your things in life. Yeah, so we've all learned that today, and we can all apply that going forward. Well, here we are in the 9 o'clock hour. Like it or not, Let Russ Cook is a thing, and there are a lot of people in town that don't like it, and there are a lot of people in town that absolutely love it. I mean, I would imagine the people are feeling their oats right now because they got everybody in the nation talking about it. I mean, it was brought up by Mike Florio during the NBC broadcast. I think Collinsworth and Michaels referenced the phrase during the broadcast on Sunday night. And next week's game, Mark Schlereth obviously brought it up during the actual broadcast of the Seahawks-Falcons game. And by the way, he was terrific. I wish he'd do every game going forward from a national call. Sam Pelt, SVP, started with it. He led his show with Let Russ Cook last night. So it's made its rounds. People are discussing it. It is a thing. And yet, this morning, you heard it. You two heard it. Bucky, Greg Bell said, hey, before you get carried away, he doesn't know if Russ is going to keep booking. Greg's got still kind of dug in, Bucky, on the idea that this is going to be a run-first team. And what you saw Sunday was just a matchup that suggested that you should throw against the Atlanta Falcons. And so the Seahawks took advantage of the matchup as opposed to having changed or adjusted a philosophy that has worked for Pete Carroll for most of his football career. So what do you think? Do you think Greg's on to something? Do you think that do you think we see more of what we saw on Sunday against the Patriots? Or do you think that we're going to be reminded of the way this team has operated the last few years, running the football first, establishing with a run?
Well, I think that they're trying to find a happy medium somewhere. So I don't think that you're going to see him throw 35 times every single game. Now, it's not like whether it's 30 times, 30 times. Is that a big difference? Is that between him cooking and not cooking? I mean, if he was a guy back in the day when you had Trent Dilfers that were, you know, had the Baltimore Ravens defense and he's throwing the ball 17 times, that is all of a sudden, that's not letting anybody cook. That's not even letting him crock pot like Mark Schlereth was saying. That's just saying, hey, just don't screw it up for us. I don't think that they're in that mode anymore like they were at the very beginning of his career where they were just like, hey, just go out there and we're going to let you learn and don't, you know, manage the game. We have a defense. We don't need you to do a whole lot. I don't think that they're trying to revert back to that, but they most certainly are a running team. He likes to run the ball. I mean, Greg even said that Pete Carroll said, we got to get back to running the ball more. I mean, having Chris Carson run the ball six times, even though he caught the ball in the backfield, he ended up having, what, 12 touches and having a really productive day. I don't think that's what they want to do. I don't think they want to get it to where all of a sudden shootout, because whether you have a great quarterback or not, you put the ball in the air and there's more of a chance of bad things happen. There's more of a chance of big things to happen. But I think that they're trying to find a way where they can let him cook to some degree, but not necessarily have to rely on him having to be perfect throughout the game and not make any big mistakes. So I don't think he's the type of guy that makes very many mistakes. He's pretty good with the football. I just think that they want to make it to where they're kind of imposing their will. And usually the way that you impose your will, if you have a guy like Chris Carson, is to try to wear him down a little bit, and then hopefully take some big shots down the field.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily getting hung up on a number of attempts statistic. And apparently some people like on the text line were kind of hung up on that. He's thrown 35 times in the past. We understand that. But how many games have they played where he's thrown 35 passes and their running backs have touched the ball on the ground 16 times combined? So the percentage of it, I mean, it was just 2 years right. ago. This is in the prime of Russell Wilson's career 2 years ago, where they led the National Football League in percentage of runs, you know, so it's not necessarily, I mean, anybody that's kind of going with the notion that this is going to turn into, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, you know, offense, that's nonsense. I mean, it's never going to go, we're not going to run and shoot with Russell Wilson. But that percentage, I don't think that if you got Russell Wilson, you should never lead the league in percentage of run carries. Is that fair? You know, and by the way, last night is a great example of this. Tennessee, who I think is a Super Bowl contender themselves in the AFC to the NFC, they made it so obvious that Derrick Henry was going to get the ball on first down, and every time that A.J. Brown was not on the field, you knew they were going to hand the ball to Derrick Henry. I mean, they made it so obvious what they were doing. So I think it is three things. We're never going to lead the league in percentage of runs ever again. Number two, we're going to speed up tempo a little bit. And then number three, a little more creativity in the offense. So it isn't always just drop back. And I think we saw all of those things on Sunday. So I don't care if it's 35 attempts per game, 40 attempts per game, 25 attempts per game. There are just some things that were happening Sunday that I want to see them repeat going forward. Right. Does that make sense, Slick Hawk?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you asked Bucky if this is what we're going to see from now on. I think we're going to see it more often than we've seen before, but I think what we have now is the beauty. I mean, I think we have the exact thing you want to strive for with offensive football. You've got Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde who can run the ball, and you can run 40 times if you need to, and that's going to be great. If that's what the defense dictates you need to do, go ahead and run the ball 40 times, maybe and run Russell Wilson a couple times. If the pass defense is horrible like Atlanta seems to be, you can throw the ball 35 times and complete 31 passes and have 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. You have true balance. You have achieved balance. You can do whatever you need to or want to do whenever you need to or want to do it. I don't know that they're necessarily at that point, but I think they're close to that point. And if they can get there with the offensive line, then that's where they will truly be. Then whatever you need to do, it doesn't matter. I don't care about let Russ cook. I care about what's it going to take to win. And sometimes that's going to be throwing the ball 35, 40 times and monstering their pass defense. Sometimes that's going to be running it right down their throat. Just depends on who you're facing that week. So I want them to have the ability to do both at will, and I think they're really close to that now.
And that's balance. I mean, it's not 50, it's not 60, 40, or whatever the league averages are. That's balance. I've said this my entire career. It's being able to run when you need to run and being able to throw when you need to throw. And I don't care how that comes out in the wash statistically. Balance is being able to do either of those things effectively when you need to do them, whatever the defense presents. Let me ask you this. Let's squeeze this in the remaining portion of our conversation. Because if this turns out to be something that they do repeat, if this is the new offense on Sunday, you know, two throws to every run, and they end up being successful, They end up averaging 35 points per game for the rest of the season. What is the conclusion, Bucky, that we draw? That we've been wasting time and that the Let Russ Cook people have been right all along? That we've been wasting our time here offensively and not unleashing this weapon that we have? Or is the lesson to be learned that Russell actually needed some honing, and that's why Brian Schottenheimer was in, was to provide that last little bit of coaching and discipline to keep him in the pocket, stop creating second and 27 by running around so much and trying to create SportsCenter highlight plays. And now that Brian Schottenheimer's cracked that whip and has done the final, you know, honing of Russell Wilson, now we're ready to unleash him. Maybe this was their plan all along. What do you think is going to be the end discussion from all of this?
Well, I mean, I think that, yeah, I think there's a lot of people that have been wanting Russ to do what he does in the fourth quarter. They've been wanting the Seahawks to unleash that in the first quarter. I think that then there's legitimacy behind wanting that. But I think that Slickhawk said something that sometimes is counterproductive to what the Let Russ Cook movement has kind of been going against. He's like, it's all about winning. And like what you're saying, Chuck, is the perfect formula of it. It's all about being able to pass when you need to pass and run when you need to run. And if you look at his career, the guy's won double digits every single year, with the exception of one. And that year he won 9 games. So that's the worst season ever is winning 9 games. So to me, it's all about, I don't know for sure if they've been wasting anything as much as that's what they've been doing to get those W's at the end of the year. To get yourself, try to win your division, try to get into the playoffs, and then see what the heck can happen. And the evolution of the Seahawks from the time that Russ came into the league until now has been different. When he came into the league, you didn't need him to throw the ball 500 times in a season. You just didn't need him to. You had a good running game, and you had a great defense. And so it was like, here, we're trying to get a W. And so our balance, while it was against where the league was going as far as more passing and less running, their balance wasn't maybe the same as some of the other people were out there, the other teams were out there, but they didn't need to. That they were doing what they needed to do to win ball games. And I don't think that you can look at Russ's production, even if all of a sudden he turns into a more of a pass guy this year, if they let him cook, so to speak, I don't think that you can look at what he's done before and say, well, they've been wasting him, because to me, they've still been winning a bunch of ball games. They've been a perennial contender for his entire career, and that is the bottom line. And so the way they've been doing it, I think, is the way they should have been doing it. But I think the evolution is upon us now, and they need to keep looking towards possibly evolving him into more of a passer.
Slick, let me close it out, this conversation out this way. All right, let's say this thing just takes off and explodes. Okay, let's say that this Sunday was just an example of what's to come. Not just your next few years, for the rest of Russell Wilson's prime.
Ooh, okay.
All right. And so it ends up, I mean, this thing just flies off the charts. And let's go zip ahead 20 years from now, because, of course, Russell will play for 16 more years. 20 years from now, you're at a bar there in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there, and you can pick whatever. Maybe you and Tony have made up by that point. And you're sitting there on your 19th beer, and you're wearing your Russell Wilson jersey, having attended the Hall of Fame ceremony. And you're looking back at, you know, that date in which he really turned the corner, and he won 2 more Super Bowls, and he won 2 MVPs. And, you know, are you going to be saying, had they just cut him loose earlier, he would have had 4 Super Bowls and 4 MVPs? Or will you be saying, man, what a great plan, and they knew exactly when to let it rip, and look at the career that the guy put together? What's the conversation at that bar in Canton?
I mean, I might be saying that he would have got one more. Well, I mean, even with the perfect offensive strategy and the perfect quarter, I mean, it is hard to win a Super Bowl. Let's not forget that. So, yeah, they've been to 2 in this era, 1-1, and, you know, I don't think I'll be saying, boy, if they had just let Russ cook earlier, then, you know, maybe they would have. So I guess I'm closer to B, that they unleashed it at just the right time. They could have done it earlier. I don't know that it would have translated into Super Bowls. you know, I think it just takes a little bit more than that. But if he doesn't win any more Super Bowls and they don't increase his workload some, then I will look back with regret.
Yeah. You know, I can't wait until there's an analyst, sports radio analyst, sports talk, sports television, who has the guts to say, winning Super Bowls is easy. why don't people just do it more?
I know.
All right, coming up next, it's time to Green Jacket Draft today, as we are going to do our annual over-under picks for the National Football League season. Who do we think are teams that are going to far surpass their expectations? We draft it up next on Sports Radio 950.
Contractors.
Woo!
Really looks good on you. It brings out your eyes. I like the fit.
Yeah?
Slimming. Well, got a slimming quality to it. Looks good.
It just looks like it belongs here.
Well, then you take it too far. You
know? Yeah.
Trying to compliment you and all. Trying to pull a Belichick for Russell kind of thing here. Yeah. You know, flatter the competition. And then you take it too far.
No such thing.
Well, I do think that people look better when they truly earned it, and you earned it. Boy, you wiped the floor with us with a little Tecmo Tuesday action. So congratulations on your green jacket. You currently hold it, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, it's fun. I had fun with the Tecmo. Not just the whole winning thing, but I mean actually just the fact that for 17 weeks we came together, did the whole Tecmo thing. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no question about it. We're going to try to rip that away from you now.
Oh, no!
We have three outstanding green jacket competitions that are going on right now here on Chuck and Buck in the Morning, so we're going to add a fourth. We've done this annually, and so we bring back our over-under green jacket draft. We're looking for win totals for the 2020 National Football League season. So here's where we put faith in our own beliefs as to who's going to be better or who's going to be a lot worse than what the experts are saying. Slickhawk came up with a worksheet, an over-under worksheet. We don't know how up-to-date it is. I don't even know where you got it. But the key is all four of us are operating off the same sheet. And so we will make draft selections for four rounds on who we believe is going to be better or worse for this upcoming season in the National Football League than what the odds are saying. So it is Slick Hawk, it's Chris Kidd, it's Bucky, it's Chuck Powell with you. Do we have a randomization order determined?
We do, in fact. The order will be Chuck,
wow.
Bucky, Kidd, Slick.
Man, I don't think I've ever... When's the last time I got the number one pick in a green jacket?
You know what? It's been a long time.
Yeah. all right. Well, I've got the number one selection. I kind of have this like cardinal rule. My rule is two.
Cardinal
I want
rule.
I want at least two more wins than what the over-unders are saying, or two fewer wins than what the over... So two is the area I'm looking for. That's the goal I'm shooting for. And you're right. I did throw out a little bit of a tease there because my big preseason prediction, my big outlier was I have the Arizona Cardinals making the playoffs. I had them going 10-6. So if they're going to start with a win against San Francisco, which I wasn't counting on, and you're going to tell me at 7.5, that's their number, with a number one pick, I'm going to take the over on Arizona at 7.5 wins this year.
Boy, I don't dislike that at all. I mean, it's a division that, I mean, Will Brinson picked all four teams from the division to go to the playoffs. And
wow.
Yeah, I think that, and I had said something about that kind of half jokingly a couple of weeks ago. I think the Cardinals absolutely could be a double digit win team, sure.
All right, so that's going to be the number one pick. All right, Bucky, I have a feeling I didn't take your top pick, so you, in essence, get your number one selection.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go with them. That was one that I knew that you were going to go with, and so I was probably going to sniper it from you if you didn't, if it got back to me in the second round, but I don't think it would have. The team that I think, and they showed out, we're talking about how the veterans, even in the shortened season, the good players still looked good, and the teams that weren't that good or some of the bad players still looked kind of bad. Aaron Rodgers looked pretty good. And I'm not sure. I know a lot of people don't think. A lot of people think Aaron Rodgers is on the decline. I'm not necessarily one of those guys. I think the Green Bay Packers at 8.5 wins, I think they will go over that 8.5 wins.
That's a really good pick. I mean, I think, weren't they 13-3 last year?
Yeah, but I really was sitting here with the NFC, with that division, thinking to myself, the winning team that wins that division is going to win 9 games. I don't like that division, but maybe I just keep underestimating Green Bay. And Bucky's right. I mean, I don't know if anybody looked better. They were dominant. And the final score did not indicate how dominant they were against the Minnesota Vikings. And Aaron Rodgers looked great. It's funny that he was the one complaining most about how weird it was not having fans in the stands, and yet nobody played better. You know what? It's hard for me to knock the pick. Had we made this a week ago, I'd have criticized it because I was not expecting big things from the Packers. But now that they, you know, I mean, it's only one, it's a short sample size, but they certainly looked a lot better than the Vikings. That's for sure. All right, Chris, you are up. You've got your first selection. You can't take Green Bay. You can't take Arizona. Where are you going?
I am going to roll with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to take the over. They're going to get more than 4.5 wins.
You Gardner Minshew.
Man.
Suck up.
Go Cougs. Said it right when the music ended. That was perfect.
Stole it right.
Well, you already got one in hand. I mean, the number's 4.5, and you already got one in hand.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say this. Everybody kept saying that they were like the top pick to end up with the number one pick in the draft, and I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to end up with one of the worst 3 or 4 records in the National Football League. So I don't know how much more I would have gone over 4.5, but I do believe they're better than what a lot of the critics have been saying.
Oh, man, I wanted that really
bad. He wanted that. Look at that. Yeah. All right, Slick, you got back-to-back here.
Okay, I'm going to take the Washington football team.
That was going to be my next.
They're sitting there at 5 wins. They already have 1 win, and they got 8 sacks in that win. Chase Young is a manimal. I'm going to take the Washington football team over 5.
Wow. See, if I would have taken them, I was going to take them under, even with the win.
Really?
I think on paper they're the worst team in the National Football League. They were my pick to end up with Trevor Lawrence. I am stunned that they came back and beat the Philadelphia Eagles, but it's not throwing me off that trail.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Ron Rivera, and maybe Ron Rivera can turn any team into a 7-9 football team. Maybe he just has that ability, but from a talent perspective, man, I don't like that team. But you're taking them over. Washington over 5.
Yep. And all right. Next, in the second round, I will take the team that I have as the worst team in the NFL, and that's the New York Jets, and I will take them under 6.5.
Good pick. Yeah, I like that. I mean, 6.5, that's my over-under on when Adam Gase gets fired, week 6.5.
Sounds about right.
When are you going to go over or under on that for me there, Slick?
Pandemic. I'm going to go under. It's going to be even sooner.
Sooner than that.
People,
and they'll just go with an assistant coach.
Look, they will smack you down for looking at them sideways right now. Yeah. So you better not lose their football team some games.
I didn't like the first pick, really liked the second pick. So there you go. Take that for what it's worth.
Okay.
All right, kid, back to you. You've got Gardner Minshew. What other Coug do you want to draft here today?
I'm going to go Seahawks. I'm going to say give me the over. They're going to get 10 wins this season.
Oh, now he takes Anthony Gordon.
I guess you could look at it that way.
So you're going over the 9.5 for the Seahawks.
Correct.
I had them at 10-6 at the beginning of the year, so that's cutting it pretty close. But after watching them on Sunday, they looked a little better than a 10-6 football team. I'll say that. So, again, short sample size, but kid goes over with the Seahawks at 9.5. Bucky, you're up.
Oh, boy, this is a rough one because I don't really want to take a team that has a win and go under, but I do not think the Chicago Bears should not have won that first game, but they already have one win. I am still going to take Chicago Bears under 8.
Mm. Chicago under 8. Ooh. Again, I don't know what to make of that division. You've apparently got it figured out because you've taken two teams from the same division. You apparently understand that division. So,
oh, I know. And I promise, one side and down the other.
I will not draft Minnesota or Detroit with my next two selections here. I'm going to go overs again, and I'm kind of leaning on the. I think that the best teams are going to emerge. I think they're going to take advantage of this season. And not have to worry about going on the road and home field advantage, stealing wins from them. So, again, my two rule goes, I think Buffalo is at least an 11-5 team. So, at 9, I'm going over on Buffalo. And then, even though they didn't look all that great last night, they got a win. I'm going over 8.5 on Tennessee as well. Those are two teams that I think are going to win their divisions. So give me Buffalo, give me Tennessee, going over on both of them.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that. I mean, I think you're right. At least 10 wins for Tennessee. Buffalo should be about an 11-win team, yeah. And I think I like the Bears pick, too.
You like the Bears as well?
I think I like the Bears under it, yeah.
Bucky, you got Vikings or Lions you can take here if you'd like to.
I just might, but I'm not going to right here. I'm going to go with what I think is. I could. I don't really know what to think of the Bucks, to be honest. After that first showing of Tom Brady, I think they still probably have a chance.
I'm at Milwaukee.
A decent team.
Oh, didn't know if you were going to just keep riding the Milwaukee Buck train going forward.
Yeah, yeah. That I'm done with them. Screw you guys. Screw you, Milwaukee. The team that I think is probably going to excel even above what their prediction is, which is pretty big, at 10.5 wins this season, I think the New Orleans Saints are going over 10.5 wins.
Going with the Saints. That's your pick. Are you picking them to win at all?
I don't know if they'll be able to. It kind of depends health-wise, obviously, when it comes down to whether it's the Ravens or the Chiefs that get there with them. You know, if somebody's dinged up. But, see, that's another reason. The New Orleans Saints, that Taysom Hill X factor, you could have an old aging quarterback that goes down, and I don't know how much they're going to miss, if not gain, when Taysom Hill comes in if he does get hurt.
All right, kid, you are up. I'm not sure who Luke Falk's even playing for right now, but you can try to figure that out if you'd like.
Well, then. I will, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and roll with the Cleveland Browns, and I'm going to say they're not going to win 8 games this year. Or 8. They're going to finish at 7-9, maybe 8-8 at the best. So I'm going with Cleveland Browns with the under.
Going under on the Cleveland Browns. You know, I'm glad that we didn't have our normal week because at some point, as a way of previewing the season, I was going to tell you guys, believe it or not, to watch out for Cleveland this year. That if they would commit to the run game and take it away from Baker Mayfield, you know, let Mayfield sow. We'll let Russ cook and we'll let Mayfield sow. And turn it over to Hunt and Chubb and that defense, that Cleveland might actually be a sleeper this year in the National Football League. And you know how much I've made fun of the Cleveland Browns and anyone who ever has expectations for them.
Come on down.
And yet they go out with a brand new head coach in Stefanski, and they get blown out by the Ravens, and Mayfield throws the ball 39 times, even though both running backs are averaging like 6 yards a carry. So it's the same old Cleveland Browns. Doesn't matter who's coaching them. I think that's a good pick, Chris Kidd. I might not have said that a week ago, but now that we've gotten a taste of Browns football 2020 style, I think that's a good pick. All right, Slick, you got to go back to back here. Where are you going?
I can't pick the Lions, can I?
Matthew Stafford.
Lions over 7.
Over 7!
Write it down.
Look at this.
I don't like
it. It's written.
I don't even like it.
You don't? It's written. What else
like
are you going to do?
Round pick, and he's got to take another one.
I don't know. I can't. Look, the team is so talented, but I can't bet on Dimple Chin. I'll take the Steelers over 9.5.
Okay, over 9.5. They look good last night. Defense looks good.
I think Big Ben's gonna have a big year.
Yeah.
So
did you poop your pants a little bit when he went down on the very first play? Looked like he broke his knee
and everything. God, yeah. Can he ever just protect himself? My goodness.
All right, kid, your last pick. Where are you going to go in our over-under green jacket draft for 2020 NFL?
This is fun, challenging, and all of the above. Go ahead and give me the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to take the over.
Taking Dad, over 10.
Dad, I hope you hear me. I picked your Cowboys to win more than 10 games. I love you.
How about them Cowboys?
Right now, your dad just had his first proud my son's on the radio moment. This is first one right there. Yeah, over 10 on the Cowboys. I think they're going to be really good. I'm surprised they lost the opener to the Rams. Maybe I got to acknowledge the Rams are pretty good too. But I would have taken them over 10 myself. Okay, good pick. Good pick. Like it. Bucky, your last pick. Where are you going?
I think this guy showed out this in his first game in the NFL. I'm not 100% sure how many games these guys are going to win, but I do think the Cincinnati Bengals have found their franchise quarterback. When you get one of those, he accounts for a few wins in his own. Cincinnati Bengals are at 5.5 games. I'm going to take the Bengals over 5.5.
I actually love that. On one hand, I'm angry that you took it from me. On the other hand, I was torn between two, and you made my pick easy for me. I'm with you. I know they lost that game, but they were the better team. They were better than the Chargers. Their defense actually looked really good. And now we're going to put Joe Burrow and watch his development. I think they're a sleeper. I think they're an possible 8-8, maybe even 9-7 team this year. I think that's a really good pick. And I was trying to save them for the fourth round. So thanks a lot, a-hole.
Well, you had another one up your sleeve.
I do. And I wouldn't have taken this a week ago. But, man, I'm sorry, Shockey. You don't lose to the Washington Redskins and cover 9.5. Philadelphia Eagles, 9.5. I'm going under on the Philadelphia Eagles. I need a team to root against this year. I took three overs, so I need somebody to root against. If you're going to blow that big a lead against what I think is the worst team on paper in the National Football League, I think there's some problems in Philadelphia, and their steady decline since their Super Bowl continues, and maybe it might run aground this year. So give me the Philadelphia Eagles under 9.5. All right, there you go. Our over-under picks for 2020, our fearless forecasts on who's going to be better or worse than what the experts are saying. We'll be monitoring this, of course, throughout the course of the year. Coming up next, we close out the show with one last thing, Sports Radio 950. Segment, we do one last thing in our final segment every day. Before we get to that, I'll report, and maybe this will serve as my one last thing. We'll see. I want to report a couple of breaking news stories. Apparently, the Big Ten is expected to reach some sort of resolution as to when they will play or start their college football season a little bit later on today. That according to some Nebraska officials. So that announcement might be made today. And then who knows what that does for the Pac-12 going forward. Obviously, we're sitting here watching, monitoring everything the Big Ten decides, because it feels like a partnership at this point. And then Major League Baseball and its players union have reached an agreement. They are going to play the entire postseason in bubble settings. And so the first ever World Series, Bucky, will be played on a neutral field. It will be played in Arlington, Texas, at the brand new Rangers facility. So not ideal, but probably the smart decision to make for this year under the circumstances.
Yeah, I think it is. And I'm glad that, that somebody, it wasn't Manfred, I'm sure, because he's an idiot. I'm glad somebody has a brain and figured out how to, you know, just make a plan ahead of time. There's no need for, if there's no fans in the stands, no need to have it at a home field place. You know, it's somebody's home field. So I'm glad that they're going to figure out a way, especially if the reports that during the flu season this thing could have a spike. It's just that it's smart. Be proactive and figure this thing out ahead of time. So good on MLB, even though it wasn't you, Manfred.
Slick, what do you got for one last thing today?
You sound like I stuck that in there, even though it wasn't you, Manfred. You know, on the radio, we have opportunity to meet a lot of people, some great, some not so great, but a friend of mine, Bender, who's been in this industry, in this building for decades here in Seattle, just announced that he is going to have his third baby. So big shout out and congratulations to Bender and Rachel on their baby.
All right, Bender, they're still firing. Oh boy. Yeah. Bucky, what do you got for one last thing today?
I don't know if you guys saw this little thing that's trending. Allen Robinson, wide receiver for the Bears, has apparently, and this is a big deal, I guess, deleted all of his pictures of Chicago Bears stuff, taken all of his Chicago Bears wide receiver stuff off of all of his social media. He's very unhappy with where his contract is right now. And the reason I think it's important is a lot of the rumors right now are, okay, Cam Newton, Allen Robinson, that would be a good little match made in heaven. A lot of people think Patriots, go get him. That's what people are saying. Mm. So just for the Seahawks, I would hope that if you're going to do that, do it next week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the reason why you picked the Bears under, because they were losing Allen Robinson. Is that what happened there?
Might have had some inside information there. I don't know.
Oh boy, oh boy, somebody's up to hijinks. That's for sure.
And Tom Foley.
All right, I do have time for my one last thing, and I'm just going to say, hey, the Tecmo Tuesday thing we did for 17 weeks. We did it out of pure need for something to root for, and it ended up. Other than the last couple of weeks where vacations kind of got in the way, you know, I ended up looking forward to it every week. So thank you, Tecmo Tuesday, for kind of bridging the gap between our actual sporting activity. Hopefully people enjoyed it. It probably looked to others as the dumbest thing in the world, and I don't necessarily disagree. And yet I had fun with it, so much fun with it, that maybe we'll even bring it back at a later date. But right now, there's too many sports going on, so not going to happen for a while. Yeah,
right.
So there you go, and congratulations to Slick Hawk for winning.
Thank you,
Mo Tuesdays.
Thank you.
All right, Slick Hawk's going to join Puck next, of course. So keep it here. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 6 a.m. Sports Radio 950.